This NBA season, make every three-pointer, alley-oop, and buzzer beater even more exciting with FanDuel. You can bet on everything from first baskets and number of dunks to which player will drain the most threes. Or stack your bets with the same-game parlay for a shot to win even bigger. It's quick, easy, and you'll get your winnings fast. So download the app today and see why we're North America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 19 plus and physically located in Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-866-531-2600 or visit connectsontario.ca.
Hello and welcome to the Buckets and Tea NBA show. I'm your host, Catherine Nyker. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. Today, I have for you a very special guest. He was on Confederacy of Dunks Wednesday. We did not do that on purpose, but I love him so much. He hosts the extremely mid-range NBA show as well. He's the host of the Canadian Baking Show. It's Alan Shane Lewis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
You know, I'm fresh off of a red-eye flight. I feel anything but fresh right now.
I can hear a little in your voice. I could feel the little strain there.
Really? Yeah, it's rough, man. Like, I don't know why I thought I could pull that off. Like,
You think you can.
Like, I'm like, I'm going to sleep on the plane because coming back from LA, you like lose a day if you fly back during the day with the time difference. So I was like, yeah, like I'll do the red eye. I even like splurged and got myself some leg room because I'm a tall girl. I need that leg room. And then this like kid was like kicking the back of my chair. Oh. And I was like, at one point I was like mid sleep. And I thought, speaking of mid, I was mid sleep. And I thought it was like turbulence. I thought we were going through actual turbulence. And I started thinking about the show Lost when like the back of the plane falls.
Like, oh Lord, we're going down. And you just see this little snot nosed kid just kicking away.
Yeah, it was just this kid kicking me. And then I don't know if this has happened to anybody else, but I was sitting next to like the emergency like exit door. That's how I got like my leg room. And it was like there was like water dripping on me like through the door, like not even like a lot, like a pool of water, like my clothes were wet.
What?
And then and then I like was like trying to wave down the flight attendant and he just like gave me some napkins and kept it moving.
Okay, who'd you fly with?
I flew with Air Canada.
There's the answer. God damn it. I hate that so much.
I'm so sorry. That's fine. You know, not every flight's a winner, but, you know, we made it back. I didn't lose my luggage, so that was nice. And, you know, I had a great time in LA. I saw the band O-Town.
Isn't that song?
Not why I went. Just to be clear, I didn't fly all the way to LA. Just straight for O-Town.
Was it Come My Lady, Come?
No, that's a different band.
Which one's O-Town?
That's a different boy band. They were in the show Making the Band.
Oh, was it? Wait, Making.
And then they did that, like, there's a song called All or Nothing at All. I can't sing it for you. But they're an early 2000s boy band. And I was with my friend Heidi. Shout out to Heidi. And she's, like, obsessed with, like, every boy band that's ever existed. And she was like, we got to go see O-Town. And we did. And they were like on this really tiny stage. It was like a stage meant for like indie rock bands. And but they like were still doing the choreography.
Yes.
Like, you know, like their voices sounded really good. Like, I think they're like, you know, trying to do that like nostalgic comeback thing. You know how like every band from like 20 years ago, I always feel like it's a 20-year cycle when bands try to like do comebacks like that.
Time to come back, yeah.
They're on that train, and we were like, I don't know if I had just like so many white wines or what, but I was just like, I was so into it. And then I like bought a t-shirt and got a wristband and got like my photo taken with them. I never downloaded their music or anything in my life, but I was like, yeah, it's O-Town, you know. It was very funny.
I just found out the song that I know them of, Liquid Dreams.
Oh, now, yeah, that's what it's called, Liquid Dreams. They
opened
with that.
Did you scream when they said the Janet Jackson, I like a girl who picks a Destiny's Child, just a little bit of Madonna's wild side. with Janet
Jackson style. Yeah, I did. I lost it because I forgot that was even a lyric. I forgot that. But for people who don't know, I'm obsessed with Janet Jackson. She's like my all-time fave from childhood. So yeah. I wore one of my Janet Jackson t-shirts in LA, and this woman at the grocery store was like, "She's my era. She's my era. I love her." And I'm like, I love her too.
We both can do that.
We're both allowed to love her. I don't know why she got competitive with me.
Gatekeeping Janet Jackson LA fans. Wow. I never had that on my bingo card for O-Town trip.
I'll tell you another quick LA story and then we'll get into basketball. But I feel like you'll appreciate this because Ellen and I are both stand-up comedians, and Ellen also does improv and stuff. And I did the show at this like brewery there. And LA is full of like people who are like actual comedians, but also like actors who are just like trying to be on a stage and be seen, you know? Mm-hmm. And this one guy goes up on stage and he's like, "I've got big news. I just got cast in the background of a show and naked." He didn't say the name of the show, but he said his title was Background Nude.
And he was just really excited about that?
He was thrilled. He was absolutely thrilled. And I was just like, wow, like, you know, LA hits different.
Times are rough out here. You just got to be out here doing nude background and celebrating that to strangers at a comedy show. I think that's the appropriate place to celebrate that, I guess.
You just don't see that in Toronto. You know what I mean? You just don't see that here.
Somebody would clown you.
Because I think here it's like you have to be funny. Like it's just, you're only going to go so far if you're not legitimately funny. But I think there it's all like, you know, I'm trying to be seen. I'm trying to be noticed.
Yeah, I'm out here, you know, just cast as Jimmy Fallon's seat in the background of the commercial. I don't even know. I'm just kind of trailing. It's a different world. It's a different world.
It sounds like a decent credit, the one you were making up.
Well, it's mine. No.
All right, let's get into some NBA basketball. We always do NBA first, then we get into Raptors. There's going to be lots of Raptors stuff too. So I was reading this very interesting article about teams that are kind of in a, what we'd like to call a perplexing situation right now, where we predicted them to be bigger winners than they currently are, and looking at them and thinking like, what could we do? Can we do anything to boost them up? So there's four teams I've got listed here. Let's see how long it takes us to get through these teams. We've got the Miami Heat. We've got the Golden State Warriors, we've got the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we've got the Chicago Bulls. I think these four teams are in a situation where we thought they would be, maybe not so much the Bulls, but I think a lot of us predicted them to be much higher in the playoff bracket than they are. Some of them, you know, teetering with play-ins at the moment. It's not looking good. Let's start with Miami. We got to see them earlier this week with Kyle returning back to Toronto. My opinion is that I just think the supporting cast of this team just isn't showing up as well as they were in years past. And I'm not sure what they can do, because I'm not sure if Duncan Robinson is really even tradable at this point. You know, they kind of lost PJ Tucker and he only hung out for a bit. Tyler Hero is there. I'm never gonna shade on Kyle, and I, you know, it's definitely not happening on Raptors Republic. But Alan, what do you think of the Heat? What do you think they could do?
I think it is time for a trade. I think a lot of times when it comes to offseason moves, it's not also about just kind of keeping the core, it's about kind of reloading, because everyone's getting better. That's just kind of the nature of the NBA season, teams progressing. And when you look at the kind of the two-fold rosters, where you have winning things going on there, like with your starters, and then also kind of bringing up your young guys, I don't really kind of see that with Miami. So those guys aren't getting those minutes. They're not logging. You have Caleb Martin kind of being pushed into the starting lineup to start the season, but there's also a lot of inconsistencies with injuries too as well. So I remember there's just one game right there. I think only Kyle Lowry was the only starter out there, and it was a bunch of just like young guys, which seems to be kind of a league-wide kind of thing.
Well, hey, we won a game against the Dallas Mavericks that way once, remember?
Yeah.
It was like Kyle and like practically our G League team, and we staged that epic comeback.
A huge comeback. Oof, I'm excited for that to happen this Saturday when Luka beats whatever we have out there. But
yeah,
it's just, you know, the Miami Heat. I've said this before in my show too as well. It does feel like there is a singularity moment kind of happening in the NBA. There's like a shift from the old guard to the new guards. These young teams aren't afraid of these colossal giants that are the people that we've kind of bestowed upon as colossal giants in the league. And mm-hmm. they're circling these games and they're smacking them. And like, you know, Jimmy Butler, I've always said he's either the greatest superstar or the worst superstar or the best regular player. Like, he's just always in that era because he kind of cycles between, oh, I'm going to give you 30, but in this game, you're not going to see me until 10. And I'm not sold on Bam Adebayo. I know this might be the Raptor fan in me. It's just like, I think they were overreaching this past couple of years, especially in 2020 when they made the NBA Finals. And this is kind of what we're going to see from them. They're probably going to be a play-in team or maybe, you know, fifth. Are as high as fifth. So I'm not shocked by any of this. They're probably going to try to make some moves. I feel like I saw some speakings of Russell Westbrook, which, you know, that would invigorate second unit. But I don't know what you do with Tyler Hero. Do you kind of shift him into the starting lineup? I think he should be in the starting lineup, to be honest. I know kind of giving him the Hulk smash pass where you just like go out there and just shoot your threes, do your thing. But yeah, I don't know. They're definitely going to need to make a move during the season.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I mean, I don't know about Westbrook at this point on any team, but I think, you know, one thing I was thinking about with the Heat is that, like, obviously they're like a free agency destination, but I feel like not relying on your development, this is where it hurts, right? Because you don't have those other guys to pull from. And I think it's like, that's kind of the downside to just relying on being that free agency team. And the thing is that, like, when, you know, when we had LeBron and Wade and Bosch come together, that was such a juggernaut. Like, I don't think we're ever going to see that again. And I don't know really what Miami's plan was. Like, oh yeah, like, I mean, obviously we know what their plan was. It's Jimmy, it's Kyle, it's Bam, but you know, you need more people beyond that because they aren't LeBron James, you know? And I just don't know. It's weird because they were so close to being in the NBA Finals, right? Yeah. Like, they were so close. And I really wasn't expecting this downfall with this team so fast. But I think they're going to be hitting the panic button for sure. And that would be so wild if they made a Westbrook move. Like, that would just be so crazy.
I think cleaning up off like waivers. I think that would be that was what they were talking about in the rumblings. Because trade wise, I think Russell Westbrook's contract is pretty huge. It's and too, disgusting.
Yeah.
So I don't see how you could shift that many assets to kind of compensate or average out on that on those numbers.
Oh my god. That none of that even occurred to me. Although I don't hate Lowry on the Lakers.
Yeah.
Not that we were going to get this deep into a rabbit hole of speculation here, but yeah, I don't hate that at all for them.
But should have happened a long time ago, to be honest. Lowry would have been the perfect point guard for LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I think that's exactly what they needed. Someone to just score those late quarter threes or late game threes and defend on the other end, or, you know, and just be competitive and do exactly what they need and supplement all their different ways and kind of bolster down their defense. Because he ain't getting that from Patrick Beverley.
He's just bulldozing people like just usual.
Going nuts, man.
Oh my god. I mean, it was like usually when somebody like shoves a player like that, it's shocking. And then when Pat Bev did it, I was just like, oh, that's him again. You know what I mean? It was a real eye roll. It wasn't even like, oh my god, what a juicy topic. It was just an eye roll for me.
And he didn't even fully like knock him over. It was just like, I just don't want to step on this player, so I guess I'll just fall. Like, it was just like a lot of effort for like minimal, like get back. It wasn't, I don't know. The whole Lakers-Suns thing is strange. That beef.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like, do you think, okay, this is so silly of me to say, but do you think Pat Bev just does it for attention?
I think a lot of what he does is for attention. He has to. He can't show you what he does on the box score. He has to show you through other ways. And if he's known as a guy who's like, wow, he's invigorated the team with 1 minute left, even though you're down 12 points to the Suns, like, that becomes something. He becomes that aim. He's like, oh, he's tough as nails. Look at this guy. He increases the intensity as soon as he's on the court, but he's out here kind of hurting people and whatnot. I don't know. Just never. I don't know. I don't hate Pat Bev. I don't defend Pat Bev. I just know he exists, and I know what he is. You know, like, I just accept that.
I mean, I think I went through a phase where I definitely hated him. And now I feel like I'm kind of over him.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I went from hate to just being over it.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where if you give it more attention, it's gonna keep going. So you go like, all right, I'll just let you tire yourself out. And then when you're ready to come play big boy basketball, you know, hit more than one three every 10 games, then we'll talk. But after that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls because I wasn't expecting this team to necessarily come into the season and be good, but I maybe it's because we all love DeRozan so much. I am a little disappointed that they're not doing as well as maybe we could have hoped that they would. I mean, obviously, like the Lonzo Ball situation is pretty not good. There's no timetable for his return right now. And, it's really been DeRozan, Zach LaVine when he's healthy, and you're not getting a lot from Vucevic. And I also don't know what this team does. I mean, I feel like they can play the injury card and just keep believing in themselves. And DeRozan's going to win a few games for you throughout the regular season. I feel like they're in this weird like danger zone where it's like easy to keep convincing yourself that everything's cool.
Yeah.
And it's, this is going to be a first round exit at best team once again.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right on the head there. That's what's going to be. They're in that dangerous area where it's like basketball purgatory, where you're not great, so you're not going to get a lot of playoff action or May, June basketball, but you're not bad that you're not going to get a draft pick that's going to like, okay, this might fundamentally change the outlooks on next season. They're just in that middle area where you're just going to keep getting the 20th pick. You know, as Raptor fans, we've been there. We've been the
We've had a
gambit of
lot
all
of
the, a
20th picks.
lot of Joey Grahams out there who are just like, is this person good? I think they're good. Maybe they're starting lineup. Okay, they're not starting lineup. Like, it's just a lot of that. But I think a lot of it has to do, once again, injuries. You know, you're seeing Zach LaVine just try to come back, get his legs, and he had a really poor performance, but he had a good bounce back the next game after that. They're finally getting Patrick Williams on the team. And, you know, Lonzo Ball. Like, it sucks that the Ball brothers can't get on the court there, because I think they play some really interesting basketball that could, revolutionize the this whole big guard. I'm ready for the big guard era. You know, Cade's kind of bringing that in too, but it's hard to have any type of consistency when you don't have consistency. You can't really build anything if you kind of keep switching up the players and you're forcing DeRozan to kind of carry you through all these games, because he's doing it. He's doing great jobs. That win against the Celtics was actually really good. But yeah, it's hard. And I have a lot of Bulls fans on my Twitter feed, so I get to see just how like heartbreaking it is for them and how much they actually truly believe in it. It's like a lot of pain. I'm getting like secondhand pain just like watching it. I'm like, oof, this is cope. This is levels of cope. See, I know what the kids are saying. They say cope now.
Levels of cope.
yeah, like copium. I don't know exactly what it means. I can't give you the
I
definition.
just thought it was coping.
Yeah, it's like coping, but they call it like
But we're just,
copium. I don't
oh
know
my
how they
God.
use it exactly. I think I'm saying it the right way, but it feels like a lot of copium going on
It
where they're
makes
just
me feel old when you say the kids are saying, because I'm older than you.
it's these kids, but that's
And
the
I'm
one
not
thing,
out here being all like, holy jeepers, like I'm not saying like some old-timey slang.
trying to keep up makes me feel older. Like the fact that I'm seeing it, like a lot of my, because I follow NBA, I follow basketball, I follow different like trending hashtags of the sport, and I get so much just pure garbage, a lot of garbage from these, like, because like every year a new terrible NBA fan is born and finds themselves on the internet, and they're just like going at it, and I don't try to comment on it. I just kind of see them go back and forth and try to tear each other down for just
No,
choosing a team to like.
you can't
So,
keep up. You just gotta own the millennial that you are. You know what I mean? Like
oh,
look at Bill Simmons. He doesn't try to keep up with anyone. He's still playing Pearl Jam. You know what I mean?
yeah. Just having his podcast where he gets his friends on to only talk about the movies he loves. I would love to do that too, as
Yeah,
well, and get
right?
paid big bucks as well.
Yeah. So, we just gotta you just I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying now, but
Right now, a millennial has turned, or not even a Gen Z has turned off this podcast, going like, "What? They're not saying cope right," and they're angry at us.
Listen, you're not wrong, but we'll move on. I also want to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes.
This is like one of those, like, we saw the disaster happening. You know, we saw the car crash before the cars hit, but here we are, and. You know, surprise, surprise, Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert aren't really able to share the court together. And, you know, we're looking at this team, like, what do they do? I mean, I have a lot of opinions on this, but I want to let you jump in here. What do you think of the Timberwolves?
Going into this, I was, you know, that Tyra Banks meme, like, I was rooting for you. Like, that's how I
see. This is what I mean. Be a millennial. Be a millennial.
Next top model. I was rooting for Rudy Gobert. I wanted him to beat the meme allegations. I wanted him to become, because he did well in Eurobasket. He did a fine job, and him in a new situation. I didn't think it was really going to work out. I was like, well, let's see. And exactly what we all thought. You can't really have Rudy Gobert out there on the offensive end because their offensive rating goes down. But the defensive rating goes up when he's on there. So you have to make these like weird concessions of like, when do we have him on the court with all these other players? And it would be perfect if basketball was like football, where you had offensive, defensive, separate units. He would be so good. He would be one of the best defenders out there. But unfortunately, he's out there for 48 or whatever minutes he's on there. And Anthony Edwards is like rejecting him like a white blood cell and some type of foreign bacteria. He just does not appreciate that. There's like serious moments where he's got hands on hips. He's like, I'm not, you know, participating in this this offense because this ball's not coming to me and I'm not going to throw the ball to him. And it's like another player who doesn't want to pass the ball to Rudy Gobert. And you want to say like, well, what's the common denominator in all this, right? But here's one thing that I'm noticing. No one's giving any hate to D'Angelo Russell, one of his worst seasons. And he is stopping the flow of basketball in transition. He's really slow. He's a lot of dribbling going on there. And he's escaping all this because Rudy Gobert, once again, he is like a long antenna. He's getting all of the electricity strikes from all of Twitter and all these beat reporters and stuff like that. And that's actually one of the bigger issues, too, with that team. I'm so sorry for the coach, the Raptors coach.
Chris Finch.
Yeah, Chris Finch. Because I would like to see if it works out, you know, like, you know, another disciple of Nick Nurse kind of falling on the sword of a bad
team. Yeah, his coaching tree is not doing well.
Yeah, you try to steal the sauce, but you know what? The sauce was back in Toronto. That's the sauce. It's Nick Nurse, all right? You can't take away, you can get the ingredients, but trust me, it's not going to taste the same. But yeah, I saw some weird stat where the best lineup that they had of Minnesota was a lineup where is Anthony Edwards and a bunch of just like Naz Reid and Novell and all these different guys where the ball was just like free flowing. It had no agenda and it was just moving around. And that's where they played their best basketball. And unfortunately, it's not through Cat. And I think Cat needs to go. All right. This is not his forever team. Find him a new home. And I don't know. Come to the Raptors. We'll love you.
Come to the Raptors. That's interesting.
I'll take him.
I mean, you know what? Like, I'll say this. Like, first of all, I completely agree with everything you said. And I think Rudy Gobert individually has had, like, a decent season despite everything. And I think, like, you know what? Like, we talk about championship DNA. And I think the same is true for the opposite. And, like, Karl Anthony Towns was drafted in 2015. You can't be on a losing team for the first 7 years of your career and then just suddenly know how to win.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't work that way. And I think, like, I get so frustrated when I read these articles where people are like, yeah, like, they're not used to, like, people coming at them and ready to play them. And it's like, you've been in this league for 7 years or more than 7 years. And now it's like, now suddenly people are coming for you. You can't just adjust like that. You do need to move on. You do need to be in a new culture, I think, to learn how to win. And I don't know if like the same thing is going to happen with Anthony Edwards. Like, he seems like he's cut differently, but it's just like, I just don't know what Minnesota could do because Rudy Gobert isn't championship DNA. Right, like he's a good player, but not yet.
You just not yet, yeah.
And so I just feel like I understood the intention, but the execution is just, it's not there. And I don't think the Timberwolves have the guts to move from Towns.
No.
I don't think they have the guts to do it, but I think you could make a very good case for doing so.
Yeah. I think a lot of times if people are the first options and second options on these really bad teams, it's like, to be honest, if you want to be successful, you shouldn't be a first or second option. Like, I think Karl Anthony Towns might work best as a third option, just somebody who's going to give you like 15 here and there. But the times he can, when you're allowed to let him go do some home cooking or do some cooking, he goes in there and he gives you those points. He gives you those production minutes. But at the same time, he's just kind of doing his role, setting the screens, getting those rebounds and starting off breaks. Because asking him to just like do the Chris Bosh method every single time where the ball moves, 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 and now you're in the corner by yourself and now it's 1-on-1 versus another big, that slows down the offense. It really, like, and basketball now, all the most successful teams, you look at them, they're all young teams who are moving the ball very quickly and they're constantly attacking defenses. Like, it's a very aggressive type of offense where they're going, oh, that person over there, we're going to keep moving the ball until we get our desired matchup, and then we're going to go right into the bucket. And if you collapse, boom, we're kicked out three. And that's just how it's going to be. And you can't have these kind of stagnant one-on-one moves anymore because teams can prepare for that. They can easily prepare for that. They can overload on one side and just challenge you and dare you to shoot threes where you don't want to shoot those threes, you know? And when you have a player like Rudy Gobert just kind of roaming the court too as well, people can just kind of sag off. But that's the whole point of Rudy Gobert. Anytime somebody sags off on him, that's when the lobs seem to come. But this team does not trust each other. They do not trust each other.
Yeah.
And talking about each other's like food diets and what they're eating like in the interviews is probably not going to help it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. As they say, the vibes are not immaculate. In
See,
Minnesota.
Gen Z came back. He's like, wait a minute.
I know,
Did
I
someone
sounded
say
ancient just
vibes?
saying that. No, I mean,
Ooh.
I say vibes, but I don't know if I say immaculate.
We've been saying vibes though from time. I feel like
yeah,
that's our
we
phrase
can
for
say
allowed to.
vibes. Look at us having just like an existential crisis.
Basketball will do that sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I
Sharing
know.
basketball with the youth
You know,
will
we're
do
like,
that.
this guy's washed, and then it's like, oh wait, I mean, you're older than that guy. That's where we're at.
That
That's
was
what
the that's the scariest.
basketball is like in your 30s. You're just like, oh, that guy's washed. Wait a second.
Like, oh my gosh, not a lot of 80s on this team. Everyone's born in the 90s and 2000s. Oh,
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like,
It's always weird to see people born in the 2000s just fully adulting.
There's someone just put it out there. There was somebody who was born before LeBron James or after LeBron James plays his first game in the NBA, and he's like on the
So
Detroit
he, yeah,
Pistons.
so he was born in 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Get fucked, dude. Get fucked. Am I allowed to swear? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you can
Yeah.
swear.
Get
You can
fucked with your little shit self, young and exceeding and living your dreams at that age, like multiple years after 9/11, out here on the court. Get out of here. I reject that and all it stands for.
Oh my God, a few weeks ago, I was getting really upset that the Utah Jazz head coach Will Hardy is only 34 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And now we've just taken this to another level.
I'm hoping for a Jeff Saturday moment where like somebody calls me up to go like, Alan, I know you've only coached like a couple kids when they're like in high school, but we want you to take over this NBA franchise with your ideas. We've monitored all the plays and moves you've done in NBA 2K throughout the years.
Oh my God,
And we
that
want to
could be
bring
the
you
next
in.
Adam Sandler basketball comedy movie. Yeah.
Are you hearing this, Mr. Sandler? I'm ready to executive produce this with you.
I remember how he was in Toronto all summer.
Yeah.
I did this like very random like show. It's not out yet, but it was like comedians and making cocktails and stuff. And we went to this like farm, like I don't know, somewhere north, somewhere near Belleville. We went to this farm and we shot this whole thing. And then they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna have this PA like drive you home." And I was like, "Cool." And I'm talking to the PA. She was Adam Sandler's assistant all summer long. I was
Oh,
like,
that's so
you're
cool.
cooler than me. Like, I don't know why you're the one giving me a ride home, but I feel like we should switch.
Yeah, you go in the back. You tell me some stories.
Yeah, you tell
I'll
me some
drive.
stories. Anyway, that's such a tangent. But okay,
My
we've got,
goal
sorry.
is to play at basketball with Adam Sandler. Basketball diplomacy. I think that's it. I'm like, put me in your movies. I could be the black guy. You know, you always need one. Let's do this. Figure it out.
You would be so great in that. And you have a very, what I would consider like a very prominent, very infamous video of you like dunking on DeMar DeRozan, do you not?
Yes, yes. And I like to re-upload that every couple of months to make myself feel better and deal with the levels of cope that I'm feeling, you know?
Well, hey, it's always good to fall back on, right? I don't have right? a video like that.
I'm going to be the old man at the bar. Just be like, you ever see this one? You know, DeMar DeRozan of the 20s, of the 2020s?
Of the 2010s.
Yes, exactly.
Of the 2010s.
Oh, God.
Of the 2010s. Well, as our crisis continues, talking about guys getting older, let's talk about the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
So, you know, our reigning champs are not off to the best start right now. Things between, you know, kind of like their old school and new school lineup aren't doing so well. James Wiseman has been sent down to the G League. Things are not looking great. I mean, obviously, like Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are not, you know, quite who they used to be, even though Steph Curry is having one of the best seasons of his entire career. So really weird stuff happening in Golden State right now. What do you make of it?
It's a lot of these young guys aren't afraid of them. They're not afraid of them. I feel like those games are always circled and they're ready to go at them every single time. Klay is starting to kind of figure it out. There's a lot of distrust. There's not a lot of unity as before. Like the way that the Warriors played basketball, like it was so reflective of like European, not even European soccer, like just soccer in general, just very tiki-taka, like Joga Bonito. Like they just knew where everyone's going to be, like one touch handoff passes. You're not seeing a lot of that going on right there. And maybe fighting a teammate at the beginning of the year may have disrupted unity in some ways, but also Jordan Poole's kind of not giving you all the production that you expect of him. The second best player on that team is Andrew Wiggins, and consistently speaking. And then on the defensive end, they're just absolutely not there at all. And they're giving away a lot of rebounds. And I don't know what you do. And you can blame James Wiseman all you want, but I don't think that was like really the issue with the team. When you have like a two-fold roster, once again, where you're kind of raising the young kids, but also trying to win games at the same time, you're not giving Kuminga and a lot of these guys a lot of minutes. And Dante DiVincenzo was not the savior that they thought he was. And Draymond Green, you know, as well as he is to hold down a lot of these big men and like defensively, he's getting up there. He's got a little gray in his beard too as well. So he's not moving as well on these pick and rolls, and they're getting exposed so much. So their best defense is trying to outscore the team themselves. So they're losing these games by these like 130 to 120. So like it's kind of wild to see. Throughout all that, that one thing, the constant that's kind of weathering the storm is Steph Curry. And it'd be a shame to kind of waste this type of electric season on a play-in game that doesn't go their way, potentially. But I don't think I've ever seen a champion come back this next season without having like major personnel shifts and struggle like this. So it is something interesting to watch, but also like the Western Conference is like, it's so tight right now. Like I even though it is kind of like a quarter way through, like one through, I think seven is like a game between all of that. So
yeah,
it is early. They could kind of figure it out. And seeing Klay Thompson drop 41, I think it was really good for him to see that. And for the rest of the NBA too, as well, because people like Mikal Bridges is going out there hitting threes and putting like that right in his face. Like people are coming at him. So
yeah. Yeah.
It seems like, yeah, a wounded champion or a wounded warrior just out there, and people are like, oh, it's time to feast now because you were feasting on us for like the past like 10 years.
Yeah. It's so funny that to me that like the Suns Warriors kind of have this like rivalry because it's like the Suns are just mad at them because they weren't where they were supposed to be. And Golden State kind of like took their place. It wasn't necessarily because like they battled. And so that's like super weird to me. But anyway, I completely agree with you. And I think like to me, you know, like when like a player signs like a big contract and then they kind of become a little lax, to me, that's what this whole team feels like.
Yeah.
You know, obviously minus Steph, but that's what the whole team feels like. And I think, you know, not being a good defensive team, there's no excuse for it. Right. Like that's always the worst as a fan, because it's like, to be a good defender, you have to just, first and foremost, you have to want to be a good defender, right? And I feel like, obviously, these guys are very capable of defense, and they're just not doing it. And you get to a point where it's like, well, I can't make you do it. You have to want it. And so I don't know what is going to bring them together. I don't know if that stupid punch by Draymond had anything to do with it. I don't know what he's like beyond that. I mean, that's just what we saw. And sometimes I wonder, like, what is he like when the cameras aren't around? Like, what is he saying? What is he doing? You know?
I don't think it's like the cause. I feel like it's a symptom of something else. Like
Right.
even like seeing when he went up there and hailed LeBron during the Lakers Warriors game, and then you see Andre Iguodala do a hand motion, which I don't think I'm gonna want to do here,
No.
but it just seems like, oh, it feels like they're the clique that we all saw before maybe have graduated and gone to different things, and it seems like they're all a little isolated in their own kind of, I don't know, camaraderie. Like there's certain teams when you watch them play, you go, oh, that's a group of people that enjoy playing with each other. I see that in Portland. I see that in Sacramento. You don't really see it in these teams that are struggling, and maybe that's, I don't know if that's causality or if that's actually we're seeing it because it's not actually happening, but it's apparent. It's apparent, and I don't think they're enjoying playing basketball with each other. Like it just doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know what exactly they do to turn that around. I don't know if it needs to be a personnel thing just yet. Like, I know there's a lot of people that think they should move on from Klay, they should move on from Draymond. I'm not necessarily saying they shouldn't, especially in Draymond's case, because he felt like such a offensive liability in that finals run last year. But yeah, I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's Steph. Because I feel like he likes to lead by example. You know, I don't think he is much of a talker when it comes to these guys, but maybe he needs to like pull them aside and like get in people's faces a bit more.
It's true. Yeah, he is more of like a lead by, oh, I'm gonna start doing night night and doing all these little antics, and the whole team starts
Yeah.
feeling that, and then Jordan Poole starts doing like weird stuff too as well. Yeah, it may be a vocal leader, but usually the vocal leader of that team is Iguodala, and you know he is there. I want to say I feel like I've seen him a couple of times, but
I don't know. I feel like your vocal leader, not that your vocal leader needs to be your best player necessarily, but they need to be of a more significant role than Iguodala is for this team at this stage of his career. Like, it's like a Haslam situation. You
Yeah,
know,
it's
like,
like
is Iguodala going to be the next Haslam?
I think so. Well, actually, this might be his last season if this is kind of like where things are kind of going, because I think it was also a very like coin flip if he was going to come back this season.
For sure it was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
he should have retired, honestly.
yeah,
Retire
and
on a
it's
chip.
and I'm pretty sure he's only like 2 years older than me, if that.
Okay, now we
Like
have to Google Iguodala's age and have another crisis.
yeah. Like he's giving old man vibes, but I don't think he's an old man. I think he is
He's
just
38.
okay. He's 30. Okay, yeah, 19. Okay, dang. Okay, 84. I guess yeah. He's been around for a while. He was playing with Iverson. I'm just realizing this.
He's the same age as LeBron,
Yeah.
but he's born in January and LeBron's December, so that's like weird because then it's like, well, that's practically a year. So, okay, crisis averted. You feel better now.
A lot better, actually. Thank you.
Okay.
I thought this guy was running around there with 87 knees, and I was like, that's not good. Is that what's going to happen in 2 years? Because they already kind of feel like that. It's crazy. I play
Oh my
one game,
gosh.
so much icing going on. I have a heat pad on my back, ice on my knees. I'm like, got the bomb Voltaren going off. Like, not even a sponsorship for Voltaren. You just got to use it.
Well, because is that because you're so athletic?
I think it's because I didn't do anything for multiple years, like at all. Like this whole pandemic and a little bit before, I wasn't doing anything. I was just kind of just sitting. I don't even go for walks, and
Yeah.
trying to go from 0 to like 80 without, you know, doing the steps in between, my body was just like, "What are you doing?" Like I can't even say my body was like betraying me. It was like responding in kind. It's like you didn't do anything to prepare us for
Yeah,
this,
yeah,
so
yeah.
we're gonna shut down on
You might
you.
be entering your stretching years.
Yeah. Oh,
You
I've
gotta stretch
been
your
stretching. I warm up, I cool down. There is a whole thing there. When at the end of the game, when everyone's still playing and I'm tired, I'm like, all right, you guys enjoy that last game. I can't do it. And I'm just getting out there.
Yeah, I think we need to call this show Old Man and the Two. I think that's the new name of the show.
Let's get the vino out. Let's start drinking the vino and talking sports.
Let's get the vino out. You know,
not a lot of sugar though. Not a lot of sugar. Like the
yeah, like a low sugar wine. Those are the worst. But anyway, okay. So those are our four, I don't know, perplexing teams. Very curious to see how they turn it around. And I'm gonna keep my eye on them. Another NBA topic I wanted to do was predicting our scoring champion. So we're about a quarter in, and right now the top three scorers are Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, our homeboy, and Steph Curry. So I'm wondering, between those three, who do you think is going to take it home?
It's got to be Luka. Out of all those teams, I see moments where I think the ball or sugar would be shared a bunch. I feel like Steph Curry is doing this out of necessity and he doesn't want to do this long run. And okay. Steph Curry feels like, you know, it's not about the regular season. It's about, you know, playoffs. So I think he's just trying to do this to get his team kind of started. Shai, I think it's just the stretch that he's been having has been really great. And he's been kind of be consistent with that. I don't know if he can do that all season. Maybe he can. And this is finally his show up year. But Luka, the way his usage rate is and the way that the Mavs kind of don't even really want to use Christian Wood that much or anyone else can possibly score, like the ball, like all the offense is Luka Doncic. It runs through him. So he's always just going to have the ball in his hands, and he's young and he's all about these regular season stuff. And one day he'll figure it out that it's, you know, it's more than that. It's trying to get, you know, this extra basketball in the end of the year. But the way he's kind of going and the tear that he kind of started off this season with these 40-point games, 30-point games, like over and over and over again, I think it's his to lose.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And, you know, he's also very much in the MVP conversation. I would say an MVP lead right now. I don't know the last time someone won the scoring title and MVP.
Yeah.
Actually, but I think that's, you know, that it could very well happen for him this year. Personally, I'm rooting for Shai. Like, I love him so much. And you know, I was saying in a previous episode, like, I feel like us Raptors fans should just try and get him into an all-star game. Like, we should rally around this guy. He's definitely, you know, because he's on the Western Conference, so it's not going to hurt our guys from getting in. And I just feel like he's really earned it. Like, I hate how much he's just kind of been forced into this, like, losing tanking situation. But I love so much that he's been trying to win despite all of that.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him rewarded with that. Also, it would just be so funny that this team that's like supposedly going to tank has the scoring champion. Like, that to me is like really funny if it happens. Mm. But I agree with you. It's probably going to be Luka. And I think the Steph point that you made is also very important. Like, you know, he shouldn't be carrying this load all season long at this stage of his career, talking about old legs, but just like another reason to have a crisis.
The whole Shai thing, it's all these teams that wanted to tank and then seeing their team, because it's the front office wants to tank, it's not the players. The players are like, I'm gonna play out there and win, so I'm ready to steal Shai away from OKC. I feel like just the way Ballmer went to all our Raptor games, you know, send Bobby Webster and Masai out to OKC games, let them sit there and just like poach this young man, show up to his house, you know. I don't know if he's doing a car giveaway or he, you know, cuts the ribbon to some type of dealership, someone should be there, and you know, with some binoculars, just like going out there and just talking to him and making him feel like, yo, be a Raptor, come out here, you know, lead this team, be a I don't know, the Canada Kid or whatever nickname we can come up with him. But
Kid
I would
Canada.
It's right there. Canada Kid. Kid Canada. Dang. But yeah, let's go. Let's get Kid Canada going. I'm ready. KC, I'm ready for Shai to be the Raptor that he's always supposed to be. And
oh God, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Don't waste it over there in OKC, your best years. Come on. Come on.
I know. I agree with you. I completely agree.
I think I'd be a good agent. Come on. Just join. Come on. Come on. What are you doing? All right, let's go.
I think I'd be the worst agent. I don't have that personality. I don't have that sheen, you know. But all right. We've done a lot of NBA talk. It's finally time to talk about our Raptors. Woo. So something very interesting came into the news this week. And according to ESPN's Dave McMenamin, He found out that there was a trade that almost went down between the Raptors and the Lakers during this offseason. Apparently, the Raptors would have traded for Talen Horton Tucker. And included in that trade would have been a first round pick and Kem Birch. And I think there might have been some cash considerations there to even it out. So obviously this trade didn't happen, but surprising to find out that it was close to happening. Because earlier, if you remember, there was all those rumors about like OG wanting a trade, this, that, and the other. But there is some truth to the Raptors and the Lakers talking. So how do you feel about this? And would you have wanted to see this trade happen?
Just the way that the Raptors know how to use a pick, not necessarily. I'm not really tied to Kem Birch, to be honest. He's one of those players on the team that I'm like, I don't know what you do well, other than like effort,
I'm
which is
tied
great.
to his mom on
Yeah, oh
Twitter.
yeah. I'm happy. Yeah, I like kind of the familial thing, that aspect of him. But beyond that, I'm like, oh, you're kind
Let me
of
just
sick,
grab
kind
my low sugar wine and tell you how much of a dash to Kimber's mom.
of. I know, isn't it? And then some of these moms of these NBA players, I'm like, oh, you're not that much older than me. You're like,
That's
oh
also true.
no, oh no, oh no. I'm hanging out with the parents of the players. This is who I am now. T. Morant, me and him hanging out in the club. I'm like, damn, this makes more sense. Damn it, I hate
Oh my God.
that. but yeah, it's I. But I'm also. I'm not. I don't also get what people see in THT. He's got very long arms and the hairline of somebody much older than him. He isn't scoring it that well. I think he's shooting like 8 points or 8 points per game right now in Utah. Even though Utah's looking great, he's great as a role player. But how sacred he was to the Lakers made no sense, and then what they traded him for also didn't make any sense. So it
Yeah,
was
they
just,
ended up trading him for Patrick Beverley, just to make that
yeah.
clear. But yeah.
Just didn't really make sense anything. Like if that was true, then why this, then this isn't true. Whatever, whichever one you believed in, the other one doesn't make sense. So a lot of mistakes on by Rob Pelinka. And also, I don't know, just having him tied to so many Kyle Lowry trades too was very kind of weird as well, or just rumors, I should say. I shouldn't say they were actually real things, but yeah, it's just kind of a nothing on either end for me, because I'm like, oh yeah, we'd probably be in the same position right now, but with one less pick.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, draft picks are more valuable than others depending on the team itself, right? And I think because the Raptors, at least, since Masai, draft so well, that a pick I think is more valuable to us than maybe a team like the Lakers, who I don't necessarily think do draft as well. So I agree. I don't think he would have been worth losing a first round pick, frankly, at any number. I'm not just talking about like a top 10 or top 15. I think at any number, I trust our team with our picks. And so I'm glad that this trade didn't happen. Although I do agree, like I'm not against a Kem Birch trade, but I don't think we should be doing something that's with a first round pick attached to it for another role player, basically.
No, yeah, agree.
Cool. Another Raptors thing I wanted to talk about. I mean, obviously, I feel like this week's been a bit rough. Like we had that heartbreaking loss to the Hawks, and then,
Oof.
we had a very depleted roster against the Brooklyn Nets, who are somehow finding their stride. I mean, I was at the airport yesterday, so I didn't get to see the game, but I caught some highlights, and I'm just like, oh no, that's the last thing I want in my life is that team figuring things out. But once again, Nick Nurse kind of went off a bit. This time it was about Gary Trent Jr. talking about how we need more from him on the defensive end. I mean, this is an interesting one because when he first came to the Raptors, with that Norm Powell trade, there were some flashes of brilliance offensively, but I agree the defense wasn't there. And then last year, I felt like he took a huge leap forward defensively. Like I remember Gary Trent just like getting all these steals. He just felt like he was pickpocketing everybody, and I loved it. But I guess this year, maybe it's taken a step back again. I mean, I feel like Gary Trent has it in him. I'm not worried about him.
I don't know. It's interesting to see kind of I think it was like the rapper show, Lou Will, wrote down all of the
You said
call
Lou
outs.
Will. You said
Lou
Lou
Will.
Will.
Will Lou. So
It's
listen, they occupy the same part of my brain and I will use them interchangeably. You ever seen Will Lou with those two wives? It's crazy. But he broke down all the things of like of Nick Nurse calling out his players and challenging them, and that was kind of interesting to see. I don't know, I as a basketball player, if that would ever kind of motivate me. I think I need love and affection to be
Yeah.
like to believe in myself. That's how all the coaches, whoever got the best out of me, got the best out of me by being like, Alan, you can do this, and I believe in you. Like I'm like, yeah, I do too, and I go out there and do it.
No, I mean, not to do even more Battle of the Generations, but it is a bit of a boomer thing, don't you think? To
That's it.
like berate people. Not that
Yeah,
he's berating him, but you know what I mean? Like
the tough.
that tough love thing.
Yeah, it's like, well,
And we're
you
like,
challenges
no,
yourself. Yeah, we're
we
like, come
need to be
on,
loved.
feelings.
We have feelings. Yeah, I
Yeah,
agree.
there's a happy medium that we could find within there, you know. And I think
Yeah, well, Nick
if
Nurse is
this
probably
works.
only Gen X. I shouldn't have called him Boomer. He's Gen X.
How could you?
I did.
I know he carries around his guitar everywhere. That's in Gen X as they come.
That's
Play a little Freebird. Just gonna do a little Freebird right here. That's all right. Yeah, no, it's something that may be needed because I feel like on the defensive end, the person that we always think about the standout player is OG and his like remarkable DPOY candidate season. But Gary Trent, even from last season, was giving like under the radar success vibes. You know, I think he had like a sneaky average 20 points a game last season or something like that. And yeah, I feel like he's even getting more forgotten this season when a lot of the conversation is the Pascal and Freddie and Scotty Barnes, you know. So he's kind of getting lost in this whole sauce of this of the rappers,
No,
and he needs more
yeah.
stank on his games.
I agree. I think he's more able to thrive when when the defense isn't as focused on him, frankly. You know what I mean? Like I think he kind of operates better as more of like a secret weapon than he is like a main person that we have to rely on. And just with all our injuries, that's just what it's been. But yeah, I'm not worried about Gary Trent Jr. And I think maybe the defense will come back when he doesn't have to be so heavily relied on offensively, and he isn't, constantly back and forth with like a cold and stuff, basically is what I think. I feel like maybe this is one where, I felt a little differently when Nick Nurse was calling out Precious Achiuwa, because I was like, you know what, there are real inconsistencies in his game, and these are real like long-term lingering issues where like with Gary Trent Jr., like I do feel like this is more of a short-term thing, and I do feel like it can come around.
Yeah, no, I have supreme faith that a player like Gary Trent can do it. Like, I don't see him as a player that I'm like, well, this is the end, this is the decline. I'm like, yeah, this feels like more like a small bump in the road as far as a very long career that he potentially can have, and I think he's going to be he'll do fine.
I love it. Now it's time for our Nick Nurse hottie highlight of the week, love of my life, and some exciting stuff here. If you haven't seen it on the Raptors Republic social media earlier this week, is that I collaborated with Dana, an amazing illustrator, and we created the Nick Nurse Happy and Angry at Refs 2023 calendar. So every month is a picture of Nick Nurse happy, smiling, and then another picture of him yelling at a ref. And this was a really fun collaboration that we did. Basically, what I did is I combed through the internet and found all these pictures of Nick Nurse with various types of emotions. Because I love how expressive he is. and kind of curated how each month would be laid out. And then Dana put together these amazing illustrations of all of them and put it together for us just in time for the holiday season. So if you haven't seen that yet, please pick it up. The shipping's free for Canada and the US. I'm so proud of it. I'm so excited about it. It's, you know, we're trying to do more merch here at Raptors Republic. And to be honest, I kind of pitched it almost like a bit of a joke, but then they were like, we love this. This is amazing. And then they actually made it happen. So shout out to the whole team here. And yeah, the Nick Nurse Happy and Angry at Refs 2023 calendar is alive and it's real and it's available now.
Save me my copy.
I will.
I'm ready for it. It's going to go right up there.
I made one on my own, like as an amateur, just like, you know, putting clips together and getting stuff like printed. And then I remember, Alan, you were like, that's amazing. You should do that. And I had a few people were like, you should do that. And then I pitched it to Raptors Republic and they're like, we should do that. So now it's like a real calendar and it's really exciting.
That's awesome. I thought you were going to pull up some pictures. I was like, ooh, we're going to get some multimedia thing going on right here with the.
Okay, well, I do have a producer named Lee. So shout out to Lee. If you know how to physically make that happen, please insert photos of the calendar during this segment, because as we've established, I am old and I don't know how to do that myself. So, but yeah, you can, if you go to raptorsrepublic.com, shop, or I think it's shop.raptorsrepublic.com, you can see the calendar, you can preview all the pictures there. Yeah, it's really fun. And Nick Nurse is doing his coaching summit this weekend.
Are you gonna be there?
No, I think it's like you have to actually be a coach.
Oh, you can't go like press at all?
If I had my shit together, maybe. I wonder if someone else from Raptors Republic will be there. That's possible. That's very possible because we do have a few fully credentialed people. But yeah.
I didn't mean anyway. For the sixth segment to be people, your guests calling you out.
I should be like, how do you feel that there's a coach 20 years younger than you in the league?
Oh, man. Will Hardy, honestly. Kudos. I'm going to get my coaching. I don't even know. Book in order. Have some plays. One called The Flying V. I saw it in a movie. It works wonderful for hockey. I would love to see it work in basketball. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so amazing. Alan, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Yeah, no problem.
Let everyone know about your show, where people can find you on the internet.
Yes, you can find me on the internet at The Alan Shane on Twitter, A-L-A-N-S-H-A-N-E, and then Alan Shane on Instagram. And then the show, the Extremely Mid-Range Show, it airs on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. So follow me on any one of those. If you want to follow me on Twitch, it is Shoeless Lewis. If you want to follow me on TikTok, it is Shoeless Lewis. Also at the Extremely Mid-Range Show, I post clips from the episodes there. And the next episode is November 30th. It's going to be a lot of interviews because I'm going out the night before. So I'm preparing myself mentally for how much live segments I can do. But I will also be at the Raptors game on the 26th. So nice. If you want to be in a segment, and you're going to those game, shout out or hit me up on Twitter or Instagram. And I'd love to shoot you talking about some stuff. So, yeah.
Amazing. The show is anything but mid. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it.
No, thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.